this is going to go away. So before we get into that deep into the Vaughn situation, I would like to kind of talk about what normally would happen in a domestic violence situation. So what would normally happen in a domestic violence situation when a woman, in this case, because the victim's a woman, would come forward and allege domestic violence?
Well, it's a good thing that you ask what would normally happen, because I think anybody who's lived in Colorado for any length of time knows that we really play in two different sets of rules in the court system of our state. What happens to everyone else and what happens to the Broncos and the Nuggets and so on and so forth. And so normally when domestic violence allegations are made, if the police can decide that they have probable cause, meaning that it's possible that the crime occurred, they have to make an arrest. Not they do make an arrest, not they should make an arrest. They have to make an arrest. They have no choice. And so there is no elongated investigation. There's no statements in the media. There's just somebody's going to jail that night. They're spending the night in jail and have to see a judge at the next available court date, which if the next day is the weekend, could be days. And they sit there and they wait to bond out, and they don't fight for their freedom until after they've bonded out. As we know, that's not what's happening here.
Why do you think that is?
Because he's a Bronco. I think there's no question. I think that when the police arrive at a scene or get a phone call and the person being accused on the other end is somebody like Von Miller, who's a hero in this town for sports, they pick up the phone, they call their sergeant, they say, hey, I've got somebody making an allegation against Von Miller. And then the sergeant says, give me a second, let me call the DA's office. And that's when they call whatever DA is on call that night, who probably called the elected Kellner, the new DA out there, and said, hey, what do we do about this Bronco? And everything screeched to a halt.
Okay. Talk to me a little more about what we know about the DA.
About John Kellner himself?
Yes.
He's brand new, so we don't know a lot. We don't know a lot about what he's going to do. George Brockler has been DA out there for 8 years, Carol Chambers for 8 years before him. And so we saw a very particular type of administration out of those two offices, one entirely focused on punishing everyone, one entirely focused on making himself look as good in the media as he could to try and run for office. You can figure out which is which. Kellner is brand new. Kellner has worked for Brockler, and so probably has picked up some of what Brockler was putting down as far as the way to enforce the law and which cases to go forward on. But we don't know a lot about him yet. And I think this case is going to tell us a lot about what kind of DA he's going to be.
All right. So taking a step back here, it's not uncommon for reasons people can imagine, right? It's not uncommon for a victim to recant. In a normal situation, is that game over? Is that, okay, well, we just drop it because she said, never mind, this never happened? What would normally be, and what does normally the law require the prosecutor to do?
So recant is incredibly normal. The state has multiple experts on retainer, basically, to come in and testify and tell a jury that victims recant because domestic violence is cyclical in nature, where people make up and it escalates and eventually somebody's dead. And so they normally don't listen to a recant at all. As a matter of fact, DAs in the 18th Judicial District have laughed in my face when I talk to them about a victim recanting, even when it makes more sense. But that being said, what has to happen in order for them to not prosecute the case is they have to be able to say that they have no likelihood of success at trial, which is a very nebulous term. It can be as taken as literally as, well, if there's any chance we can win, we got to go forward. Or it can be said, how likely is it we're going to win? Let's go ahead and dismiss it. DAs selectively use that statute to prosecute the cases that they want to and toss the ones they don't.
So it's interesting. The thing that was fascinating to me when this thing all came down yesterday was that the fact that Parker said anything at all, it was highly unusual to me that the Parker Police Department was telling anybody and everybody that called from the media, they were confirming that there was an investigation. And that was particularly interesting to me in light of the fact that apparently they did not make an arrest. Given, like you said, the statute says If they have probable cause, they have to make an arrest. There's no discretion. So they're investigating this. They apparently right now don't have a probable cause yet, but they're confirming publicly, which has its own set of risks for the department. What did you make of the fact, and what would be your best guess as to why they would be taking that very unusual step of making a public statement like that?
Yeah, it's highly unusual for a law enforcement agency to be making public statements like this. They're not the FBI, right? This is local law enforcement. It's very unusual that they would be making statements that are not in conjunction with the DA's office that has a press secretary that is well-versed at dealing with the media on a situation like this when something has broken before they've gone forward. And real quick, before we get into the why, really important to note that just because they haven't arrested him doesn't mean they have probable cause. It just means they've chosen not to arrest him at this juncture for whatever reason. But I think that the reason that Parker PD is getting out in front of this is because, like I said, somebody from Parker reached out to the DA's office. The DA's office put the brakes on it. Parker wasn't happy. So they are going forward so that the DA's office has the pressure of the public knowing and that this isn't going to occur in a vacuum where nobody knows the DA's office made a choice to not prosecute Vaughn, if that's where they go.
Interesting. Does the Parker Police Department have a good reputation? Is there anything you could speak to on that?
You know, it's hard to know what a reputation of a police department is, right? Unless you see them in the news a lot, like the Denver Police Department that you see in the news quite a bit. But what I will say is that in my experience with the Parker Police Department, I watch a lot of body cams because that's part of my job. It's part of the evidence that I get. And I have very rarely seen a more polite, well-prepared, and by-the-book police department, at least on body cam. I will say that I have very rarely seen a police department that works more professionally than they do. That doesn't mean they always are. It doesn't mean that's the way they behave when the cameras are off. But most police departments, I watch those cameras and I see mistake after mistake after mistake, rude comment, bad temper, you name it. I've never seen it with Parker.
All right. So you said earlier you have had prosecutors laugh in your face when you've brought up a victim has recanted her story, right? You've had clients that have recanted their story or, you've had clients whose victims had recanted their story and you said, hey, you know, let my client go. Is it a mischaracterization to say that, to draw an inference off based of what you had said is if this were anybody else or most likely anybody else, a normal person, this would still be moving forward, but Vaughn might get off?
That is not a mischaracterization. If it was anybody else, the case would be moving forward. With Vaughn Miller, it's the thing that if they don't prosecute him, that they're going to be able to hang their hat on. But the only reason that they would treat him like that is because he's Vaughn Miller. Nobody else would have a letter like that toss their case out of court. Nobody.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just fascinating from the political perspective, and I got to be careful, you know, where I go with this, but yeah, knowing, you know, the way Brockler was, you know, pushing forward, for example, with the James Holmes trial, knowing that the odds were incredibly unlikely that he would ever get the actual death penalty against James Holmes, but just pushing forward because he wanted to move for governor at a tremendous expense to the state, right? Because he really wanted that political prize. But knowing this guy worked for him, but seems to be maybe shying away from this high-profile case, is kind of a fascinating study. I guess we'll learn a little bit more about our new DA, huh, Jeff?
Absolutely. I mean, you'll never find somebody who loved a camera more than Judge Brockler, Jesus. Yeah. DA Brockler. You will never find somebody that loved a camera more than him, ever. There will never be another DA in our state that loved a camera more than him. Maybe we'll find somebody who loved it as much, but never somebody who loved it more. Kellner is showing a resistance to that mindset by not moving forward on this case. He would have been arrested. Brockler would have been on TV, and the chips would have fallen where they may. That was his thing. Put me on TV. Don't care what happens. Period.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. So you're a local defense attorney. I think you said you're helping out with some protester cases and stuff. Tell everybody kind of what you do and what you have that going on that is interesting and how they get a hold of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. So I'm a local criminal defense attorney. I work at a small firm, few attorneys. We do nothing but criminal defense, which means we represent people with traffic tickets. We represent people with domestic violence cases, sex crimes, drug crimes, financial crimes, you name it. If it's a criminal charge, it's what we deal with. And we are able to help people. We are able to charge reasonable fees by keeping our costs down. And we'd be more than happy to talk to anybody who needs advice, has a family member who needs advice, or needs somebody in court with them. That's what we do. We are trial attorneys. We can be reached at 720-479-8574. And our website is Wolf, W-O-L-F, like the animal, lawcolorado.com, wolflawcolorado.com. You can reach us either way.
Hey, and that's one last question for you that sparked something in my brain. Harvey Steinberg, he's phenomenal. And this is, of course, he's representing Von Miller on this one. What makes him so good?
You know, I worked with Harvey for a little bit when I was in law school. I was an intern in his office, and I have never seen somebody as sharp as him. He's an excellent attorney. His reputation is well-earned. He is not just somebody that people think is good. He is good. He's incredibly intelligent. He has a reputation that he wields very well in the courthouse. DAs are absolutely afraid of him. Judges are afraid of him. It is just who he is. He has this huge persona, and he wields it better than most would. And quite frankly, he backs it up better than most would. He is very good. He's smart. He knows cases off the top of his head. He's an excellent trial attorney, and he's somebody I look up to.
Yeah, we had him on Irv and Joe all the time, and Irv said, "Well, Dan's thinking of going to law school. What any advice?" He says, "Yeah, don't." So it's kind of funny. Hey,
sounds like Harvey.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Have a good one, Dan.
All right. We'll be reacting to everything Jeff said. If you want to get involved, the RamosLaw.com text line is 303-713-1043. Your reaction coming up next on The Dan Jacobs Show.